Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Well, hello. It's the match ball for the Wigan Athletic home defeat. Second season on a trot, we could be saying that, if the match ball wasn't you this year. I'm Dan Moylan. With me, Michael Normanton.
Hello.
Moscow White as well. Daniel Chapman.
We'll do it next season. We'll repeat it next year, won't we?
And thanks to Levi Solicitors for getting behind us as well. 10% off your legal fees, including their conveyancing as well. New year. And if you're moving house, check it out, please. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. This one is going to have a distinctly different feel to it than the one on Tuesday against Millwall, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I say that. I'm not actually really into the idea of making losing to Wigan at home like an annual podcast event. I'd really like that to be the last time that happens. The last time we ever play them, that would be good.
Yeah.
Martin, credit for this stat, that Wigan now have 3 wins out of 37 of their last away games. 3 out of 37.
Two of them at Elland Road.
Two of them at Elland Road.
Where was the other one, I wonder?
I can only imagine the other team had...
It'd be the John Charles Stadium.
Been reduced to 8 men or something.
South Leeds, something like that.
I mean, we should have won.
Yeah, this is the thing. They're really, really bad.
They were shit. They defended well.
But sorry to talk over you, Michael. I was just going to say the reason why we've lost, though, is it's the same pattern every time this happens. We were miles better than them, but we were too slow going forward, which is what I was saying previously.
And Patrick Bamford can't score any of the chances he's given.
And unfortunately, yes, we've seen today the worst of Bamford. So it's all fine and well standing there covering your ears up when it goes well for you. But today you've been shit, pal, I'm afraid. If we had a striker in that team...
I'd like to go and cover his mouth and nose for him at this exact moment. Until he goes... Maybe I'd let him live. I'd just do it as a little reminder to him.
Until he's spluttering.
Yeah, exactly. Just wait until he looks to panic.
And that kind of waterboarding when you take him to the edge of consciousness.
Just to have Patrick Bamford waterboarded for the evening would be fair enough, I think. And Keiko can have it as well.
Yeah, so let's talk about that then. First of all, the goal.
I don't understand the goal.
No.
It seems like it's... like there's keeper cock-ups, and we've seen the Brentford goalkeeper today is very amusing with a whole player just booting a ball in his general direction, him like letting it go over the line underneath his studs. But I understand that. You can see what's gone on. The one video replay I've seen of Casillas' goal. I'm going to call it Casillas' goal. And
it's been credited to Hernandez, so let's not take it away from the scorer.
Watching it live, it appears to defy common sense and the laws of physics. I understand there's a deflection. Mm-hmm. Pablo Hernandez has caused, or the deflection has come off him. But I don't then understand why Kiko Casilla doesn't maybe move and then catch the ball.
I think in mitigation, and if you weren't at Elland Road today, you wouldn't have...
I was on the gantry.
I'm addressing the listener.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's the gantry gong. There we go. That'll get wrong every time you drop the G-bomb. Who were you sat there with, by the way?
Norman Hunter. Today.
There we go. Yes.
Still hang.
So, it was very windy is what I was going to say, but the point of us talking into these microphones, Moscow, is that it's for the benefit of the listener.
All right, I thought you would...
Yeah. I was addressing you, the listener, not you. I'll talk to you.
Stop staring at me then. Carry on.
Is that it was very windy at Elland Road today.
Yeah, but he can still catch a fucking football.
No, he didn't move though.
I'm not trying to justify it. Right. There was a very strong swirling wind, and if you saw that, I think it was the first half when their keeper kicked it out and it kind of swirled back on itself and dropped behind like the guy it was intended to go to. So there was a very strong swirling wind.
Well, I'll tell you what.
So,
weather report before every game, and Keiko can see it. Just, actually, can Meslier do this one? I can't. No.
But
the ball's just going to blow past me and I won't be able to do a thing about it.
Because my brain processed it before it hit the net. I kind of went, oh, that's hit Pablo. Oh, that's quite high in the air. Oh, it's gone in. All right. What is? Oh, that's a goal, isn't it? Shit.
Have you seen the replay?
Yeah.
I think this almost happened against Millwall. There was definitely one where Keiko scrambled across his net and sort of jumped, pushing his hands through the roof of the net as he did it because it
went behind, didn't it?
Yeah, but he was shitting himself. Clearly, yes. He thought the ball was about to go in.
But today he wasn't shitting himself.
No, he stood there and went, I can see this is fine.
Yes,
I think the thing is as well that,
and then it felt like breeze in his face. He's like, oh, maybe it won't go where I thought it was going to go.
Everybody knows that our weakness is set pieces and corners in particular, and therefore they pack the area and they crowd Keiko out because they know he's prone to doing stupid
stuff. Then he
needs
to just like
fuck off.
Well, he could fuck off, but he could also just like crumple up into a ball and start crying and get a free kick, which like every other goalkeeper does. There are ways and means. I'd like to see more replays of it, like I say, because there's only the one from quite a distant angle. But my real suspicion on this goal is that he should have saved it.
Oh, I think absolutely should. I'm not trying to give any mitigation for what's happened there. I'm just trying to explain what it was like. The conditions might have played a part in it, but it was just, it seemed to happen in slow motion almost, didn't it?
Yes, he had time.
Yeah, that's the thing. A deflection is a thing that does wrong foot a goalkeeper, but when he still gets to watch the ball travelling
for another 25, 30 yards
looping up in the air, because it wasn't a shot either where he's already gone for it.
Pablo wasn't stood in front of him when it deflected. No, he didn't have to quickly change his body. No,
there's no excuse for it whatsoever.
Okay,
get the spider boy in.
Not for the first time, Keiko. There's no excuse for that.
Just play the spider boy. If the FA could just do us a favour and please
ban the racist
him. Ban him now.
I think Pat Bamford said one or two things.
Well,
I'm sorry, it's just a return to Bamford. And unfortunately, he's the guy that we always end up coming back to. He wasn't the only one to miss chances today. Harrison missed an absolute gilt-edged chance. But this guy is the centre-forward, well, nominally the centre-forward and number nine. Because the more you see of him, the more you've... He's not, is he?
At one point, I think... I made a note on 26 minutes, shoots backwards.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that's
was pretty, that. Is that a fair
almost,
description of what
the
happened?
Way that you're being charitable about kind of or attempting to explain the conditions, I did think that the ball was pulled back by Click and that it was a little bit behind.
But why did he put Bamford, him, why did why, he make it go further behind?
Yes, how he ended up but, shooting at goal and the ball going behind him to Helder Costa
well,
to a shot from further out is...
You're trying to be nice to him there. And what I want to say, well, I was directly in line with that cutback as well. And I looked and I thought, pull this one back. And he did. And I thought, great. And it was there was a clear channel all the way through to Bamford. And then he somehow contrived to spin it backwards. Mm. I just don't get it. And you must think that Augustin sat there thinking, I didn't even make the bench today because I've not done 5,000 laps of Thorpe Arch yet. And look at that shitbag.
That is apparently what he was doing this morning. Apparently he was doing laps of Thorpe Arch too.
Well, I was just being glib.
No, that's where he was. He was so I don't know if he was at the ground for the game, but certainly this morning he was up there doing some extra training on his own to get himself fit. So on the one hand, he obviously needs it. So,
in Bielsa's eyes, he needs it.
Yeah, but he needs it to play to meet the minimum standards that Bielsa has for Leeds. But on the other hand, I would have assumed that he is probably fit enough and has enough football sense, like he knows enough about how the team will play already to have coped with the last 20 minutes, even if it was just a matter of running into the box and scoring some goals.
It's fairly obvious what we do, isn't it, every time? Yeah. I was going to say, is there a bit of blame to be apportioned here? I mean, he's taken it on his own shoulders, so it's not. I'm not saying anything controversially, but Bielsa, it's this, the process. Now, we understand that he's absolutely dedicated to the process, but sometimes you've got to roll the dice, you've got to shake things up, you've got to do things that will affect the crowd and not just the system of play on the pitch, yeah. And which is why, I mean, we've had some absolute fucking clown shoes ringing up BBC Radio Leeds as we've been listening in the car on the way here, sack Bielsa and stuff. No, I mean, Bielsa is an amazing, amazing coach, but he also does have his flaws. But that needed a change for the benefit of the crowd, didn't it? Like Costa was doing fine and getting himself in loads of good positions. So I understand why he didn't take him off. But on the flip side, every time he hit the first man, sometimes you've just got to roll the dice and give it something different. And I think that's why we should have had Augustin on the bench. And maybe you see Pervada just to give everyone a kind of a, that unknown quantity, that lift that Ellen Road would have got.
I completely agree. I think
I agree too.
Yeah. There is a narrative setting in about Augustin and people saying, oh, you know, he's going to need, the season will be over before he's ready. I will, I'm not going to make any grand claims. I will be surprised, amazed, if he's not at least on the bench for the next match. It's Forest, isn't it? Because that gives him, because the thing that, the flip side of this is that Pervada had the 10 days of training before the Millwall game straight on the bench. So he's obviously, you know, up to speed in terms of tactics and fitness, that Bielsa was happy with his condition, and there's no waiting. I think if he'd have thought today that he was the player who would have come on and changed the match, Pervada would have been on the pitch. There's not an issue whether he's going to play or not. And I think he obviously just thinks, and there is, to give Bielsa a little bit of Dewey flew. So when did, what's big Kev's movements this week? He flew in on Sunday night, signed Monday morning. Yeah. So then you're talking Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so he's saying 4 days of training is not enough.
It is enough though, isn't it? When you don't have any other strikers.
But in his world, he's saying that, no, 4 days is not enough. But I will not imagine at all that when we have... So he'll be in tomorrow. I'm sure if he was in today, all the way through to next Friday, he'll be on the bench for the Forest game at least. And I would just stick him straight in the team. But you are right. What was weird about today, I would have put him on the bench, and I would have put him in the team because I would have subbed Bamford off after kicking the ball backwards. So half an hour gone. On you go, Big Kev. Your turn.
So there are certain things that should be... Well, you know, you get the obvious straight red.
Yeah.
There should be an obvious straight substitution, and as a striker kicking the ball backwards, shooting backwards, should be one of those things where you have to just have a forced substitution.
He had three or four golden chances today. There was the header, there was the backwards shot. There was,
I think 6 minutes in, he had the same chance he misses over and over again, which is cut back from the right-hand side onto his right foot, and he puts it 10 yards over the bar every single time. And he had another one, which was flagged for offside, but it was kind of it looked a little bit like a repeat of the QPR one where he was put through on the left. He was running through, the keeper came out, and you knew he wouldn't score. And he, again, it was just like the QPR one. He kicked it 10 yards over the bar.
And he has another bad habit as well, which came to the fore today, which is of taking shots when there isn't a chance. Like, he's not good at half chances, but for some reason, if there's a bad angle where, you know, Mo Salah would struggle to score from, Aguero would struggle to score from, you can bet that Bamford is going to think, yeah, I'm going to have a shot from here. I could put it in here, just sail into the crowd. And that's what I find, you know, you want to say to him, you can't even kick a ball forwards from 6 yards out. Why do you think you can score past the goalkeeper from this acute angle from 20 yards just inside the penalty area or whatever has happened to him? And it's just where, and I would relate to, it's not, so not only him, but this business. So I'm glad we're back into the short corner thing. But one thing that we just need to just delete from the repertoire is a deep corner.
With a volley.
Hoping that Alioski or Dallas is going to come in and suddenly Van Basten it into the top corner.
Alioski's crossing today.
They are not Van Basten. Well, Alioski's crossing and then Helder Costa's crossing. And you're going to have to talk about Jackie Harrison's crossing, everybody's crossing.
Did Alioski hit the roof of the South Stand?
Nearly. It fell onto the running track. It didn't quite hit the roof.
Did not quite hit it. You couldn't tell from the cop end if it had actually hit it. I was kind of hoping at one point, like it was going over it, which is quite an achievement, I would say, to kick a ball that high.
Did you notice today that there seems to be a problem plaguing the entire side? And I think this is maybe it extended into the crosses and the wide men and all that sort of stuff, that nobody just seemed to have the feet on them today. Even Pablo, misplaced passes, short passes. When you build in play from the back, it was like Ben White had roll it at someone rather than in front of them, you know? Normally, if you were playing on the FIFA on the PlayStation, you press the through ball button to put it in front of them. You're thinking, press the bloody through ball button, but they're not doing the pass to the feet. So it just killed the momentum. And every time, it's what I was talking about before, every time we're going forward, they've got 9 and 10 men behind the ball by the time we figure out what we're doing. And then we go, all right, what do? We can't play through the line. So, we'll go out wide to that side. Oh, that's not working. Let's go to the other side and let's try that. Oh, that's not working. Let's go to that. And, maybe we'll get a cut back if we're lucky. And we kept doing that.
We weren't quite seeing it. Obviously, the get ready, Michael, the gantry gives you a view. And you could see maybe what, for some reason, the players weren't. Gaps in their midfield. Click. Once, I think, maybe twice, ran into it and started making a difference. Like, if you just ran with the ball through midfield, they back off or they try and tackle and you can get past them. But most of the time it was, you'd see this big space in front of them and they'd go, foot on the ball, Ben White, foot on the ball, Liam Cooper, do this. And I've no problem with getting it out wide to Harrison or getting it out wide to Costa as quickly, but I do have a problem with just kind of going to Cooper or White and thinking, let's look a little bit sideways, And it's not like the old Yap Stam sideways where it's, pointless and laughable. They are trying to go forward, but for some reason they either weren't seeing it or they weren't brave enough to do it. And that's sometimes what I think about with that Pat Bamford thing of taking really difficult chances, because it's so difficult to score from there. If you don't score, it's not a big deal. I wasn't going to score that, was I? But I had the chance. It's a little bit of a cowardice thing sometimes, where it's like, I could, if I don't do this difficult thing, we'll keep this safe and I won't take a chance and then nothing will go wrong. I think their decision-making gets affected by nerves and trying not to kind of
make mistakes. Yeah.
For all, I think, it was frustrating not seeing us play as well as we can in an attacking sense. We still had the chances. That's the thing. We weren't brilliant today and we still should have won that game 2-3-0.
With Bamford, he had 3 clear-cut chances. All right, he was under pressure with a couple of them, but still he's in the position. And if you're a striker, surely if you're in the position, if you're getting into the right positions, you expect to be in a situation where you're going to finish it. He seems to lack that instinctive knack of being able to do that.
If you're playing for a top team as well, you need a striker who scores chances when they are half chances,
especially when you've only got one in your team.
Yeah, it's not good enough to say he can score from 6 inches when the ball's put on his head. He does need to sometimes score chances that are like a 25% chance or something, at least sometimes, because he never does.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, it was my little lad's first game today, Ellen Road. I was going to get him on the podcast for his reaction, but he's sat in the kitchen here at the studio just eating sweets instead. Don't think he fancies it.
At least he's got a nice Leeds United baseball cap out of the day.
He has more than
any of us have got, I think. When
I want 60 quid, speak for yourself.
All right, he's got 60 quid on his ill-gotten gains. I think when Leeds lose from now on, you, Dan, should buy me a present.
No.
Because I'm imagining he's not bought that hat for himself with his own pocket money, has he?
He hasn't, no.
No, so I want a present. I don't want a baseball hat, but I would like a gift.
Yeah.
Just to make me feel better.
But I thought, there's no better introduction to the world of Leeds United properly than a 1-0 home defeat to Wigan. It all just seems very, very apt, doesn't it?
Yeah, there was almost, still better than watching Spurs.
There wasn't today, I didn't pick up on that kind of anxiety in the stadium, there was almost a degree of resignation because that goal was kind of bizarre, and you just
it was a strange one. Millwall got the bit between our teeth, and yeah, once we'd even before we'd scored one, just the way they came out, it looked like it was going to be three. The atmosphere today on the Michael gantry was, and I got the feeling from listening to the crowd everywhere around us that people will probably feel the same about this. We were never going to score today.
No.
That's what we got. So I feel to my right saying, I just don't see us scoring. And Norman Hunter to my left saying... And he and Norman got up and left with about 5 minutes to go, just said, I've seen enough. And he's like, I know what's going to happen. We're not going to score here. I've seen enough. And I think that feeling was how everybody felt. We were. Bielsa said afterwards that he didn't need to make radical changes or bring on Little Ian or anything like that, because it was inconceivable that we would not score if we kept playing the way we were playing.
Sorry, Marcelo, you're wrong.
Unfortunately, no, he's right, but unfortunately it would have needed the game to go on for at least another 90 minutes, if not 180. And he's right, if we'd carried on like that. And if somebody had got rid of Cipri, I don't know exactly how his name is pronounced, but their number 21, Cedric Cipri with a K, he got his head on absolutely everything back there. And it was a combination of, yeah, our crossing wasn't good enough, but that guy also seemed to have a real ability to get into where our crosses were and head them away and get a block in everywhere. I thought he was outstanding in their defence, and that just contributed to it, where you just thought, nah, with him playing like that and with us playing like that, it's just, there's not going to be a goal for us here.
And there was no goal for us. You're absolutely right. I think my highlight of the day was going to the toilets at halftime for some warmth. That was it.
You don't need to go actually in the toilets. You can.
I needed to go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fine. It's going to say you'll get there.
On Mrs.
It's off band.
We haven't talked about Jackie Harrison's 6-yard box moment either.
No.
Which was so close. I tweeted it that Betfair actually put that up as a goal. I got a notification through on my phone saying Leeds had scored for that one, which was quickly corrected. But they must have, whoever sits in the stadium and sends the information off must have seen the ball go into Harrison and gone, yep, goal. And then gone, what the fuck has he done?
I didn't see this chance all that well.
I've seen a replay of it as well. And he made the mistake. And it's probably... maybe symptomatic of everybody. So he's the ball is crossed into him. He's about 3 yards off the line with the goalkeeper in front of him, and he tries to control it to go the other side of the goalkeeper.
Was that just a real easy chance?
If he just
put his foot through it?
If he just tried to divert it into the net, 1-0.
Okay. Yeah, because he took it wide...
Yeah.
It looked, I thought maybe it wasn't as good a chance or as good a pass as it looked from the opposite end.
Whatever, I mean, yeah, I've only seen it live and then one replay, but it was the feeling that if Lee Chapman's there, he just gets his knob on it and just pushes it
in
over the
line.
Whatever happens, not trying to take a touch, and then the touch wasn't good enough, so we ended up trying to backheel it behind the goalkeeper. And the touch did give him an open goal, but he'd taken it so heavy that it went wide of the net, so he's trying to get back. Whereas if he just... Yeah, just
run in, run into the net with your bollocks.
Yeah. Do what Pat would do and nail it into the south stand. Upper.
But that was a big chance as well. And just that thing of, so when you're talking about it being slow build up and slow in the 6-yard box and slow everywhere, you're just thinking, why aren't you just putting the ball in that? And it's hard not to think that Big Kev doesn't, from his YouTube highlights, doesn't seem to have those worries.
He's got the kids call the sauce. He's got that swagger. He's got that ability.
Part of me even thinks it would be better for him not to spend time at Thorpe Arch.
Yeah. With all these losers.
You know what I mean? Just have someone who isn't playing to the same system sometimes, who isn't weighed down by overthinking things, because I think that is sometimes a bit of an issue. And I don't want to get into the Bielsa out territory, because it's stupid to argue that.
We're second.
But sometimes it does feel a bit overworked and overthought. Mm. And it feels like we need someone to come on who is going at this with fresh eyes.
That's exactly the point. I mean, like, it's the point, the madman who was his name on Radio Leeds?
Brian.
I mean, Brian wanted us to to gain momentum, he wanted us to drop back a few places.
Are we going
to
do Brian now?
Brian's argument, if you haven't heard it, was
Brian should have been disconnected and immediately taken to a secure institution.
He was advocating that maybe we should drop back to third or fourth so we can go into the running with momentum. That's on the understanding that we'd have to lose more games to get to third or fourth and thus lose momentum, but then gain it all back.
And we were saying he should have been delighted with the defeat today because that's us already doing it.
Phoning up angry about us losing when he wants us to drop back down the league table so we can build some momentum to come back at it.
And Brian, you're a madman. Underpinning it though, there was
Bielsa sacked first. No, there was no sense. He wanted Bielsa sacked, and then he wanted changes in the team. He wanted Spider Boy in goal, which I agree with. But then, he wanted like three or four players dropped. Because he was saying as well, as part of his absolute insanity, I don't want to like go off on one with a Leeds fan because it's a bit unfair. And he is just somebody phoning up a radio station. But it was just so far away from reality. I did wonder, but his Bamford argument, because Noel Whelan was saying to him, you can't drop Bamford after he scored two goals against Millwall in midweek, and then say, right, well, you're not playing on Saturday. And he's like, well, no, that would make him more keen to score more goals, but he'll get more momentum if he's out of the team.
That's not how it works.
But apparently it's how it works with us. If we lose some games, we build up momentum and we'll finish third, I think was what his aim was for.
Again, trying to be kind to Barmy Brian, there was a point underpinning it, which I think was that it was about Bielsa's intransigence, his refusal to make changes, I think was the point. And a number of people touched on it, perhaps with a little bit more sanity than Brian did, saying that, and it's what I said earlier, sometimes you've just got to roll the dice in football. And I think Bielsa is so wedded to the idea of process and system.
We did make a dramatic change today with Tyler Roberts coming on, and we're playing without a left back. So we did a full...
How's his injury, by the way? I assume.
Yeah.
We've not heard the post-game news, but I assume he's pulled something.
Did you hear the caller on Radio Leeds who made that point as well, who was more sane than Brian, who said Tyler Roberts has gone straight back in. He hasn't done a stint in the 23s.
He's been sitting on the bench for about a month.
No, but even still,
he's not been straight back in.
He's only just reached full fitness again.
But he's been training and... He's not just reached full fitness like 2 days ago. He's been on the bench for about three games.
But the point I'm making is that he's not got up to full match fitness. He's not done the 23s. He's come back into the first team picture. And the point I was making was just roll the bloody dice.
Yeah, but that's fine. But Tyler, we did roll the dice with the players who were present today by bringing on Tyler Roberts and leaving Harrison to have the entire left side, left back and left wing to himself. And the number of players we had going forward was by, if you were to watch a normal football match, just go and tune into Watford versus Crystal Palace or something, we were completely out of the loop from that kind of stuff. We had, eight players forward at all times, and then Wigan have nine outfield players in their penalty area. And that's what the game was for about the last 20 minutes at least. And I thought Tyler Roberts was brilliant when he came on.
He was playing between the lines and making himself available. But
he does seem to do an awful lot of pivoting and little runs and pivot and a little run.
He's trying to get through nine outfield players, isn't he? So there wasn't a lot of space for him to do much. And so they're trying to put some positivity into any of this. We are still very good at creating, not chances, but at least crossing opportunities through a massed rank defence like that. And if I don't imagine Wigan, so Cypri Kipri was playing very well in the heart of their defence, and they did seem able to cope when the ball came into their box. But I don't imagine that their boss was sitting there thinking, oh no, this is fine. I love that they keep getting to the byline like that. Admittedly, it helps that we can't finish, but we have scored a lot of goals compared to a lot of other teams in this division overall. And you can't, it was a bigger risk for Wigan than it was for us. And a lot of it was to do with Tyler Roberts was able to help Helder Costa, who had the beating of that fullback all day long, just running
little
past
Tom
him.
Pierce.
Of course it was little Tom Pierce. And we'll talk about little Tom in a minute. And then Harrison was going past him. It's the final ball, and it's a combination of getting us into a situation where the opposition is able to just get nine players into the penalty area and defend because they've been given a stupid lead. And then us just not having the, I don't know whether it's the calmness or the confidence or the Jean-Kevin Augustin to finish the chances when we we make them. But I think the start of all that was that I thought Tyler Roberts was good.
It's funny when you mentioned playing without a left back. I was looking at the pitch at that point, and it seemed for a second that Clich was playing as a third, as a. And it looked for a second like we'd gone to a back three with Clich as the left hand centre back of it. I was like, this can't be a thing.
There were moments we started with. Ben White was doing the Calvin Phillips thing. He started in front of our back three. We were 3-1-3-3. And within about 2 minutes of the game starting, all our coaching staff were on at Jackie and confusing the hell out of him. And I did notice at one point, it looked like one of the coaches was sort of pointing back towards the left wing and the other one saying, no, towards this wing. But for about 5 minutes, we were playing two up front. Harrison and Bamford were next to each other as like a central striking pair. And Ben White had gone back into a back four. And then 5 minutes after that, it changed again. So all sorts of things were going on all over. But it did seem what Bielsa had done, and I think the reason why he was content for it to sort of sit and wait for us to score a goal was that, yeah, he'd reduced the defence to its absolute minimum and increased the number of attackers on the pitch. I think there's a point where I would have loved Poveda to come on. I thought there was moments when Pablo started giving the ball away. I thought, take him off, get fresh legs on. Let's see Poveda get that crowd lift. At least we see one of our new signings. But then Pablo picked it up and was continuing to be quite important in the way we're attacking. I think if you'd taken off one more defender and put on Poveda, there's probably...
It would have imbalanced it too much, yeah.
I think, yeah, probably somebody who, like one of the inventors of football from like 1870 comes along and just goes, no.
You can't
Marcelo, it's like, please, this is going too far. But it didn't end up with any goals for Leeds United.
No.
But at least little Tom Pearce, although he did dive, I don't know who at Wigan has taught him to cheat, when he dived over, Helder Costa, I think, was trying to tackle him when he was running towards the box.
Yeah.
He did it outside the box, so at least he was, you know, he didn't try and win a penalty off us. And then when he, that little header over the... over our last defender who was 20 yards from Wigan's goal at the time and then running through, and
it was Dallas back on him, wasn't it?
Well, I was, yeah, and it was a while before it's like, come on Tom, don't do that. And I think
I didn't have any confidence in him scoring that. In fairness, he looked as surprised as anyone to be through on goal.
He was, his goal for us when he scored
was against Barnsley.
Was a very good goal, and I think it was not dissimilar where he was put through, and not from like his own penalty area. But yeah, I think I like to think that a little part of him just went, oh, can't
do this. Is he one of your villains then? We'd best wrap up and do heroes and villains.
Little Tom.
Well, Kiko.
He's way
below. Although actually at one point, and now we're doing villains, didn't we kick the ball out in the first half and Wigan didn't give it back?
I don't recall that.
No.
I was sure at one point we twatted it. They had a player injured down in their right back position.
No, they gave us it back.
They didn't. They took an attacking throw in.
But we also, there was a player, I remember there being a player down and we carried on playing. There was a lot of little things going off today. It was quite interesting. It was like
they were trying to kill the game, quite obviously, by staying down a lot as well.
Yeah. Well, Pablo started rolling around as if he'd been punched in the face.
He did get hit in the face, but I think he was, shall we say, milking it.
And then Bambo.
And then he got up and did that fake blood thing that we've spoken about before, where you
hands, touch your hands,
sure, face.
Is my nose still attached? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
And then
yep.
Their player went down as if Bambo had elbowed his head off, and that ended up with Pat was over in front of the bench talking to Paul Cook, their manager, about it, who didn't seem to be making a massive deal of it. But I was quite interested that it ended up with this argument on the touchline about what was going on the other side of the pitch. So there was a few little bits like that. But no, Tom is not a villain. He's had his one game. That's his first start for Wigan since he's been there. Bless him. May that club close.
Well, hopefully they're going down.
The tricky trees, for fuck's sake. How can we lose to a team that's nicknamed after a tree?
Do we have any heroes from today? I can't think of any.
Jean-Kevin Augustin.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's probably put in a very hard day's graft. And for God's sake, Kevin, from me to you, please get fit as soon as possible. I don't care what Bielsa wants, give it to him. Whatever it takes for you to get past the little pinch test to see if there's any extra flab, if they're weighing you every moment.
There's only, 16 games left? Just put him in for all of them.
And I think it's... And like I said, I'm sure he will be minimum bench for the next game. I think it will be that will be enough. I think Bielsa thought he can get away with it today. And to
Didn't.
Be fair, if Bamford
was capable of scoring,
carried on his streaky form from
if only someone had put him
Tuesday,
given him a chance, where all he had to do was tap it into an empty net from a yard away.
And if and we should blame Jackie can have a villain nomination for not scoring that chance as well, just to make it fair, because I don't want to, you know, we can't be only hammering Bamford when
and
Harrison
Bielsa himself
as well. Yeah,
because we've basically got some new toys and he's not letting us play with them. Mm. He's just keeping them in the box. No, you can play with those after dinner, is how it feels like.
Once we've slipped into the playoffs,
once we've lost to Wigan, well.
Do you know what the thing is as well, right?
Still 3 points in there.
We'll go and win at Forest or Brentford. We'll do...
Both. We have to win both.
We'll do something stupid and Arsenal
face. And we'll
face.
Be absolutely fine.
Yeah, because that's what Leeds do.
I mean, today's other results have not been good for us, it's fair to say, with apart from
Forest
losing to Birmingham City is helpful. But everybody else had a gimme. Fulham nearly...
As did we.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, Fulham 3-0 up against Huddersfield, let them come back to 3-2. West Brom just did the standard 2-0 over Luton. That's what we needed to do. I know Brentford went crazy against Hull, but Hull have gone absolutely crazy and just decided like they just don't want to be a football team anymore.
They've given up, haven't they?
Yeah. But just that standard West Brom 2, Luton 0. I would have loved to just see Leeds United 2, Wigan Athletic 0, and that would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, let's just write this one off and we'll reconvene for the next one. And cheers to Levi Solicitors for the backing on the podcast. If you're moving house, need a solicitor, whatever it is, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Right then, forget it, okay?
Promotion?
We'll leave that for you to decide.
I hate trees. I'm going to go and chop one down. Fuck you, Greta Thunberg.
Cheers, see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.